And let's turn again this morning to the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6. While you're turning there, I'll tell you a little story. This last week at our home, we started to notice a strange pool of water forming outside, actually near the foundation of the house. As the hours went by, this small pool got bigger and bigger. Soon the little pool was turning into a small swamp-like area. And I realized that we had a problem. This happened, of course, over the weekend, so there was no one available. But on Monday, first thing, we called the plumber. The plumber came, and they dug up and found the source of the problem. It was one tiny piece of pipe, one pipe fitting that was no larger than an inch in size. He said, "It's a good thing that you called me, because if you hadn't, this would have caused a lot of damage to your house. It could have destroyed the whole foundation." It's amazing that one tiny unseen piece is keeping the whole house running. And there are hundreds and hundreds of similar pieces and items, just like this one, that keep the home functioning. Now, the church is the same way. The church is made up of many different people, hundreds and hundreds of people, who all have individual roles that are essential for the working of the church. Sometimes in your Christian life, I know sometimes in my Christian life, you may start to wonder, are the things that I'm doing for the Lord, are they significant? Are they important? What if I just stop doing what I'm doing for the Lord? If I stop serving, would anyone notice? Would anyone care? Is it really making any impact in the kingdom of God? If I stopped, would it matter? This morning we meet Tychicus. Tychicus is sort of like that unseen pipe connection, that pipe fitting underneath the ground. Many of you here today may have never even heard the name Tychicus. But Tychicus was a faithful servant of the church, laboring behind the scenes, mostly where people didn't know what he was doing. But he was faithful to serve, and he carried the gospel forward. He carried the kingdom forward. God used him in a mighty way. So Tychicus this morning demonstrates to us that faithfulness in the small things is essential to the church, and faithfulness in small things matters greatly to God. So let's read together Ephesians 6, just two verses, beginning with verse 21. "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we thank you for the many, many servants that you have raised up in your church over the years, over the centuries, Lord, and how each one of these servants is vital to the success of the church and to your kingdom moving forward, Lord. We pray that we might be a church full of people like Tychicus, Lord, who are eager to serve, not seeking recognition, Lord, from anyone but you. And so, Father, help us today open our hearts to receive your word. Speak to us, Lord, in the power of your Spirit. Father, we know that your Spirit is the great illuminator, that the Spirit shines a light on these words and pierces our heart, revealing truth to our heart. We desperately need your truth, Lord. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. We need your power, Lord. So speak to us through your word, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me remind you where we are in Ephesians. Next week, Lord willing, on Lord's Day morning, we will conclude this letter, but I wanted to linger just a little bit longer here in Ephesians so that we can drain all of the last drops and all of the wisdom out of this wonderful letter. So we are now in the closing remarks of Ephesians. We could say this is the very ending where Paul is writing his signature, and he's just relaying the final details to the church here in Ephesus. We've considered the first half of the letter, which was all the doctrines of grace. We've considered the second half of the letter, which is telling us how we should walk now that we belong to Christ and are chosen by him, the new life we have in Christ. We've seen the armor of God and the prayer that accompanies that armor. And now we see God's servant, who's delivering this letter to the church in Ephesus. So three points I want us to consider this morning. We'll start with Tychicus, the man. Second, his character. And then finally, his ministry. So we begin with Tychicus the man. Now, Tychicus appears only five times in the entire New Testament. This is not a name that is a household name. He's not someone who's very well known in New Testament history. So I want us to familiarize ourselves this morning with this wonderful servant. Tychicus appears in five different places, and so I want us to look through each one of these so we can learn his story. So let's first turn to Acts chapter 20. You want to keep your Bible at the ready because we'll be flipping around some here in the New Testament. We'll turn to Acts chapter 20. And here in Acts chapter 20, we find Paul on his third missionary journey. Acts 20 falls right after Paul had spent over 2 years ministering to the church in Ephesus, preaching and pouring his heart out. Many converts in the city of Ephesus. And so we come to Acts 20. Verse 4, we read this, Sopater the Berean, son of Pyrrhus, accompanied him, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. These went on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. So here we find a list of seven men, seven servants, who accompanied Paul during this third missionary journey. You notice in this list, there's two men who are described as the Asians, Tychicus and Trophimus. Being the Asians isn't the way that we think of Asia today. This is speaking of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. Asia is the area in Revelation that we studied previously where John wrote the letters to the seven churches in Asia. And actually, if you read in Acts 21, Trophimus, who's there listed with Tychicus, the other Asian, he's identified as being from the city of Ephesus. So many scholars believe that Tychicus actually, along with Trophimus, came from the city of Ephesus. That was believed to be his hometown. Now, Tychicus is not named in Romans, but these seven men, who are named here in Acts chapter 20. In Romans 15, we see Paul sending out a group of men, and if you piece the chronology of Acts and the epistles together, we see that these men delivered funds, their own funds, and some that they raised to the church in Jerusalem, which was struggling. So in Acts 20, we are introduced to Tychicus, and we see in Romans later that Tychicus was generous and delivered funds to the church in Jerusalem. Well, our second text that we see Tychicus mentioned is our passage this morning, Ephesians 6. That's where the second time we see him fall in chronological order. Ephesians falls about 4 to 5 years. The writing of Ephesians falls 4 to 5 years after what we just read in Acts chapter 20. So that means at this point when Paul is writing this letter of Ephesians and mentioning Tychicus, this is a man who served the body of Christ for a period of 5 years. And think of all that aligning yourself with Christ at this time, the persecution, the suffering that Christians endure, just naming the name of Christ. Tychicus has been at it for 5 years at this point. And if you notice in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul tells us in our passage that he is sending Tychicus, meaning Tychicus is coming from Rome where Paul is writing this letter. He's in Rome ministering to Paul, spending time with Paul, praying with him, no doubt encouraging him. But Tychicus is coming back to Ephesus, and what is he bringing with him? He's bringing this very letter. Paul is sending him so that he can bring his words to the church. So Tychicus is the mailman. He's the postman. Paul gives him this letter. He takes it all the way from Rome to Ephesus. Now, it's possible that Tychicus sailed from Rome to Ephesus, which would have been at least a 2 to 3 week journey across the Aegean and Adriatic seas. A harrowing journey, of course. If he traveled by land, it would mean that he traveled the Roman road for a few thousand miles from Rome to Asia. So either way, Tychicus, whether he sailed or walked with this letter, he went through great pains to get Paul's words to the church in Ephesus. That's the sort of servant that he is. Well, he pops up a third time in the book of Colossians. So let's turn over to Colossians chapter 4. Remember, Paul was writing Ephesians and Colossians at the same time. These are two of his four prison epistles. They are writing during the same two-year prison stint. As he's writing to the church in Ephesus, he's simultaneously writing to the church in Colossae. And Colossians, of course, falls right after Ephesians in the scriptures. So we come to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 7, Paul writes this, "Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here." Okay, so notice in this third passage what else Tychicus is doing. He's not only delivering the letter to the Ephesian church, he's also delivering the letter to the church in Colossae. So as he travels from Rome to Asia, he now has two letters in his backpack. Two letters of scripture to the church. He's traveling across half of the known world carrying scripture with him. It's likely that Tychicus first stopped off at the port city of Ephesus, spending time with the church there, ministering to the people, sharing the words that Paul has written, and then probably traveled over to Colossae, which was another 4 to 5 day minimum journey beyond Ephesus in Asia Minor. Now, another amazing detail here in this passage in Colossians 4 about Tychicus, we see that Tychicus was not alone as he traveled from Rome to Asia. Notice he had a traveling companion. Colossians 4, see verse 9. "And with him, Onesimus." Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. I wonder if you know the story of Onesimus. Onesimus, like Tychicus, is not a household name in the New Testament. I encourage you to go home this afternoon, if you can, and read just one chapter of Scripture. That's Philemon. That's the story of Onesimus. You can read it in about 2 or 3 minutes. This short letter to Philemon from Paul, that's another one of Paul's prison epistles. That's along with Ephesians and Colossians. He wrote Philemon during the same two-year prison stint. But this tells the story of Philemon, who was a slave owner in the church at Colossae. And we've already talked about slave ownership at this time. It was very different than slave ownership as we consider it in the United States centuries ago. Many of these slaves were voluntary slaves. Some of them were slaves because they owed a lot of money and they worked for that slave owner. We know that Philemon was a leader in the church and a godly man, so it's unlikely that he was mistreating Onesimus. It's probably likely that Onesimus owed such a large sum of money that he tried to run away from it. So Onesimus was a slave from Colossae, just down the road from Ephesus. Onesimus ran away from his owner, Philemon, and the story goes that Onesimus ran all the way to Rome. A very long journey. Ran to the big city. And Onesimus, as he arrived in Rome, somehow came in contact with the Apostle Paul. Paul was in prison, but he was able to receive visitors. Onesimus came in contact with Paul. I would like to imagine that Paul shared the gospel with Onesimus. If not Paul, someone did. And Onesimus, this runaway slave, was born again to new life in Christ. Listen to what Paul writes from prison about Onesimus in Philemon. He says, Paul writing to Philemon, the owner, "I am sending him, Onesimus, back to you, sending my very heart, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So Paul sends this new convert, Onesimus, back to restore this relationship, back to Colossae. Who does he entrust to deliver this man back? Tychicus. So as he's traveling from Rome back to Asia Minor, he has these two letters in his backpack, and he's walking side by side, hearing the story of Onesimus, his new conversion to the Lord, no doubt telling each other about the joy of the Lord, the peace that they have in their hearts because of the Lord's work. That's what Tychicus is doing. Now, a fourth passage where Tychicus appears is found in Titus. Let's turn over to Titus chapter 3. The writing of Titus occurs many years later, so at this point, or a few years later, Paul has been ministering with Tychicus for probably 7 or 8 years. This is a couple years later, and we come to Titus 3, verse 12. Titus 3, 12, Paul writes, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." Now, Paul here is writing to Titus, who pastored the church on the Greek island of Crete. So see what Paul is saying here. In order for Titus to come and spend time with Paul so that Paul can continue mentoring Titus, who is he going to send? He's going to send Artemis or Tychicus so that they can come and fill in, they can lead the church, they can pastor the church in Crete. So Tychicus, the faithful servant, the reliable servant, will come and he'll shepherd the church so that Paul can spend time with Titus. One final passage, let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is actually Paul's final letter that he wrote. 2 Timothy, Paul wrote during his second prison stint in Rome while he was awaiting his likely execution. So we see Tychicus is still with Paul, still serving the churches. It's been about 10 years since we were first introduced to Tychicus in Acts chapter 20. So 10 years or so serving the church. And we come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Paul writes, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." This is the last time we see his name mentioned in Scripture. Just a few brief words there in 2 Timothy 4. But what this tells us is Paul is still relying on his servant Tychicus. Paul is desiring before death, before the end of his life, before his likely execution, he wants to spend time with his son in the faith, Timothy. He wants one last chance to hug Timothy and look him in the eye and encourage him to continue leading the church. Continue standing up to the persecutions and sufferings that you face. Timothy was pastoring the church in Ephesus, which we remember was possibly Tychicus' hometown, his home church. So who does Paul send so that Timothy can come and visit one last time? He sends old faithful Tychicus. It seems also, scholars believe, that Tychicus delivered this second letter to Timothy and the church in Ephesus. So this is, again, another letter that Paul, or that Tychicus, delivers on behalf of Paul. So that's essentially his story. He just pops up really 5 brief times, but we can piece together here through the Scriptures a man who served mightily and faithfully. Well, second this morning, I want us to see his character. Now, Paul uses 3 terms, 3 characteristics to describe Tychicus. Paul describes him as a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and then a 3rd description from Colossians 4 that we just read, a fellow servant. So I want us to look at each one of these. First, in our passage in Ephesians 6, verse 21, Tychicus, the beloved brother. Now I want you to put your eyes on the Scriptures here on verse 21. Notice something important here about what Paul says. Paul does not say, "Tychicus, my beloved brother." You see that? Or Tychicus, a beloved brother. Notice what he says, Tychicus, the beloved brother. In Colossians 4, Paul writes, Tychicus, our beloved brother, meaning that he is a man dearly loved by the entire church. It's not just someone useful to Paul. It's not just someone beloved by a few. He is dearly loved by the entire church. And we know this term, brother, is a spiritual term. This means Tychicus is a member of the redeemed family of God. He's a brother in the church, just like we are brothers and sisters in Christ, adopted into the family of God. Paul is saying, this is one of God's adopted children, and he is a beloved brother, not just to one congregation, but to the entire church. Tychicus, because of his faithful, selfless service, is beloved to Paul and to the church. Now, Matthew Henry writes this about Tychicus. He says, a beloved brother, one whom Paul loved and one who deserved to be loved because he was a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Christian, would others say that about you? This is a beloved member of the church, a beloved brother, a beloved sister, because of their faithfulness, because they're reliable. Well, second, in verse 21, Tychicus is described as a faithful minister, faithful minister. I was having a conversation with someone recently. They were telling me about the pastor of their church. And the person said, oh, you would love my pastor. He is so dynamic. Kind of scratched my head. What does that mean? What does it mean that this person is dynamic? Is that a quality that I would want in my pastor? Notice Tychicus is not here described as dynamic. He's not described as flashy or fun, anything like this. This is what you want from your pastor, from a servant, from a missionary. He's described as faithful. Faithful or trustworthy. Actually, this word here in verse 21, minister, this is the Greek word diakonos, where we get our word deacon or servant. So Tychicus was not a minister in the way that we think of a minister today. He's not someone who is standing up and preaching every single Lord's Day. Now, he certainly did some of that as he filled in for Titus and as he filled in for Timothy. But it wasn't his calling to be a pastor of the church. He's a faithful minister, a faithful servant. Meaning, wherever I'm called, that's where I go. Wherever there's a gap, wherever there's a hole, wherever I'm needed, I'll go. I'll serve the Lord. I'm faithful and trustworthy, delivering letters from Rome all the way to Ephesus and Colossae and to Timothy and Titus. I'll do it. Delivering Onesimus, talking to him on the road, discipling him, a new believer in Christ. I'll do it. Encouraging Paul and visiting him in prison, though it means traveling many, many miles, he'll do it. And notice the key to this, verse 21, Tychicus is a faithful minister or a faithful servant. See the phrase, in the Lord. That's the key. His service is done in the name of the Lord. It's done for the Lord, for the glory of the Lord. Christian, how do you remain faithful in service, though you may not be recognized by the church or by the world? You do it in the Lord, for the Lord. Tychicus is not serving in the name of Tychicus. He's not serving in the name of Paul. He's not serving in the name of the First Presbyterian Church of Ephesus or First Presbyterian Church of Colossae. No, he's doing it out of a love for the Lord. And this phrase, in the Lord, also means to be in Christ, to belong to Christ by faith, meaning that his strength to persevere and remain faithful comes from being in the Lord, from belonging to the Lord. He's a faithful minister in the Lord. Christian, you share the same calling of Tychicus. Your calling is to be faithful wherever you are, to be faithful in the Lord, to be a faithful, reliable, trustworthy servant of God. And this is good news. Your calling is not to be dynamic or to be the greatest, to be someone that you aren't, to have some winning personality, to measure up to the standards of the world. You aren't called to perfection. You're called simply to be faithful. To be faithful day after day, one foot in front of the other, one day at a time. Faithful in the Word, faithful in prayer, faithful in worship, faithful to serve in the body of Christ. God delights in your faithfulness. A third characteristic of Tychicus is found in Colossians 4. where Paul describes him as a fellow servant. Actually, this word servant is the Greek word doulos. Now, doulos was not a helper or an employee. A doulos actually was a slave. A doulos was someone who belonged to a master. So the doulos did not have his or her own agenda in life. The doulos woke up every morning with the agenda set for them. Here's what the master says. What the master says, you will do. Now listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Paul says, verse 20, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God." Paul's writing and rejoicing, saying that there's only two ways to live: slaves to sin or slaves to God. Slave to sin, where sin is your master and sin rules over you. You're under the burden and the weight of sin. You cannot do good. You cannot please God. Slave to sin or a slave to God. A slave to God, Paul says, is one who is truly free. You're no longer under the curse, the burden, the weight of sin. You're free to live as God intended you to live from creation, serving your master, enjoying the face of your master, enjoying working for your heavenly master. Paul says, Tychicus is a fellow slave of God along with me, along with you, Christian. By the way, a slave of God is a term that the apostles love to use. If you read in Romans 1:1, James 1:1, 2 Peter 1:1, Paul, James, and Peter all in their letters introduce themselves this way, as a slave of God, a doulos. So when Paul is writing to the church, he's giving Tychicus this term of honor. Church, listen to this man. Listen to Tychicus as he comes to you. Respect him. He is a fellow slave of God. He belongs to the one true master. He has been set free from sin to new life in Christ. He follows and obeys the calling on his life given to him by our one true Lord and master. Christian, would others say this about you? Would others recognize this about you? Would the world describe you as a fellow servant, a fellow slave of God? Does the world see you and see this person exists to follow the call of their Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord is the one sure master of their life. Would others say that about you? Third, this morning we come to his ministry. And Paul tells the church three ways that Tychicus is to minister to them. So we begin in our passage, verse 21. Paul says, Tychicus is to bring the church a report on the apostle Paul. Verse 21, so that you may know how I am and what I'm doing. And verse 22, that you may know how we are. Now we know Paul had a deep love for all of his congregations, for all of his churches. He had a perhaps even deeper love for the church in Ephesus. He spent over 2 years ministering to this specific church. In Acts chapter 20, there's a beautiful scene as Paul is leaving the church in Ephesus. He's saying goodbye to the elders who he's served for over 2 years. He's continuing on his third missionary journey, and we read in Acts 20, verse 36, it says, "When Paul had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him." The church in Ephesus had a deep and abiding love for the apostle Paul, their pastor. He planted the church. Many of these people were led to Christ through the ministry of Paul. So as Tychicus is returning, the people in Ephesus are on the edge of their seats. They couldn't just jump online and check in on Paul and see how he's doing. They couldn't call him. The only way that they could hear how Paul was doing is someone bring a report like Tychicus. So they're back at the church in their Wednesday prayer meeting, on their knees, praying for Paul. Lord, protect Paul. Lord, use Paul. How is he doing, they're wondering. We know he's in prison. Is he suffering? Is Paul languishing? Is he healthy? Is he being used to spread the gospel? So notice it's dear faithful Tychicus who is entrusted to deliver this news, to come to the church and report to the church. Here is how Paul is doing. Here's what the Lord is doing in his life. Here's how Paul is sharing the gospel with the guards and with everyone he comes in contact with. Come hear the story of Onesimus. By the way, Onesimus is right here with me. This is a man who's returning home, back to his hometown, returning to make things right and repay the debts that he owes. Tychicus brings this report. A second assignment for Tychicus, verse 21, Paul says, he will tell you everything. Now, many scholars believe that Tychicus not only delivered this letter to the Ephesian church, many believe that he was also the scribe who wrote down the words as Paul gave them to Tychicus. Even if he wasn't the scribe, Tychicus knew this letter backward and forward. He knew the content of the letter, and he knew the author of the letter. So Paul says, as he comes, he will tell you everything, meaning Tychicus will interpret and he will expound the meaning of every single word I have written. Tychicus will be there to answer all the questions. And we know from studying Ephesians, there's a lot of questions that come up. What does it mean to put on the full armor of God? What does it mean that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world? How does that work? What does it mean that Christ is the king and head of the church? How are husbands to lead their wives? How do wives submit to their husbands? Tychicus has the great task, the great responsibility to walk the church through everything, through every single word. You could say Tychicus led the first Bible study on the book of Ephesians with the church of Ephesus. How amazing is that? What a responsibility, what a privilege. And then a third assignment for Tychicus from Paul, verse 22. Paul sends him that he may encourage your hearts. You know, this tells us something very important about the heart of the Apostle Paul, about the heart of Tychicus. It tells us something important about the letters of Scripture. It shows us, it demonstrates to us that Paul, as he's writing Scripture, these words are not cold, they're not detached, these aren't impersonal words. Paul is not just seeking to write a statement of doctrinal fact, so that the church can just be informed. The Scripture is not just history. It's not just data. It's truth. It's truth that's aimed for the heart, so that your heart may be encouraged. Paul told us just a few verses ago in chapter 6, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of Spirit, the Spirit which pierces the heart. Hebrews 4 tells us the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Scriptures are aimed at the heart. Tychicus is seeking to encourage the heart. I'll never forget years ago as a college student, I was having some personal struggles with the Scriptures, wrestling with the Scriptures for myself. How do I know that these things are true? How do I know that this is the very Word of God? I remember talking to a pastor, and he said these words I still remember to this day. He said, I know the Word of God is true because I don't just read it, it also reads me. Paul's words here are aimed at the heart, to sink into the hearts of the people in Ephesus. And he even sends Tychicus so that the words can sink in even deeper, so that the words will drill down, piercing the heart, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is meant to encourage. Now, what does it mean to encourage? Actually, the word encourage in the Greek is parakaleo. That's a verb that means to lift up, to urge on, to spur on, to comfort, or even help. That's encouragement. And amazingly, the noun form of this word is parakaleo, or is paraclete, And we know the Paraclete is the Holy Spirit. So what Paul is saying is Tychicus is coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the encourager, our comforter, our helper. Tychicus is a man full of the Holy Spirit. How is he able to encourage this congregation in Ephesus that is young and struggling in their faith? They don't have Pastor Paul with them anymore. They're being persecuted. They're surrounded in a city of pagan idol worship. Many of these Christians have come out of a background of this cultish worship, and they're tempted to fall back into it, to go with the ways of the world. How are they encouraged? Paul sends Tychicus, a man full of the Holy Spirit, to encourage their hearts. His encouragement and comfort is aimed at each individual heart. This is what happens when God's word is opened up and his word is taught and preached. It's not just a word to go forth out into the abyss or into the void. It's for each individual heart. When you come to worship, when you read the word of God, be prepared for the word to sink into your heart and encourage your very heart. The only lasting encouragement in this world comes from the word of God. And Tychicus, this man, had the privilege to encourage the hearts of the Ephesians. Well, how do we apply this word this morning, the life of Tychicus? What applications can we take now for our own life? First, I'd say this, there is no competition in the kingdom of God. No competition in the kingdom of God. Notice that Paul is not threatened at all by Tychicus and his ministry. It's the very opposite, actually. Paul is doing all that he can to elevate the ministry of this man, Tychicus. He does all that he can to compliment him and say, this is a faithful, beloved brother, a faithful servant, a faithful slave, a fellow slave along with us. Paul is not upset that Tychicus is the one who takes the letter to the church in Ephesus and to the church in Colossae and explains God's truth. No, Paul is overjoyed that God would raise up another servant who can do the work of the kingdom. This is true Christian leadership. This is what we must all aspire to, praising those around us that God is using for his work and his kingdom, giving others the spotlight. Second, the life of Tychicus encourages us to be faithful. Most Christians, most people for that matter, will never be famous. We will not get a lot of worldly recognition, most likely not. We won't be famous, but every Christian can be faithful. Mothers and fathers leading faithfully in your home. Children can be faithful in obedience. Workers faithful when nobody sees. Church members faithful in worship, prayer, fellowship, and service. The kingdom of God, we see in the story of Tychicus, the kingdom of God moves forward through ordinary faithfulness. The letter to the Ephesians got there because Tychicus just took one step after another and walked all the way. He was obedient. Step by step, he was faithful. God works through ordinary, faithful obedience. You know, when we reach heavenly glory, we'll look around and there will probably be some people that we recognize by their reputation and maybe by the way that they look. We might recognize John the Baptist for his unique clothing and recognize his story. We might recognize Moses. We might recognize Paul. We might see Esther or Rahab or Abraham and know some of these people. But you know, heaven will be full of thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians that we won't recognize. Ordinary church members from churches in Hartsville and Ephesus and Rome and Colossae and all around the world, ordinary Christians like you and like me that have been faithful and obedient. How glorious that is. Third application, find your place to serve. Find a place where you can be a Tychicus, where you can do something for the church, something for the kingdom of God. Are you serving the people of God? Can you point to an area and say, that is where I'm exercising my Tychicus gifts? Find a place to serve. Christ says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. That's how you are great and make an impact in the kingdom of God. It's finding a place to serve. Fourth application, encourage others. Encourage hearts. Our world is full of discouragement. Our churches are full of discouragement. God sends people like Tychicus. He sends people in the mold of Tychicus to come with the word of God and encourage one another, to build up, to strengthen one another. Think about the body of Christ. Think about your family, your friends, your neighbors. Who can you be a Tychicus to today? Who needs their heart encouraged? And then finally, Tychicus points us to Christ. The good news is there is a better and truer, a greater Tychicus. There is a truly beloved brother. There is a perfect, faithful minister. There is an ultimate servant, Jesus Christ. He did come to encourage hearts, but not just to encourage hearts. He came to save and transform hearts, to take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He served the church to the point of giving his life on the cross. Because Christ was faithful unto the point of death, you are now free to be faithful and live a life for him. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we pray and ask that you would help us to follow in this example of Tychicus, Lord, but ultimately we're following in the example of our Savior, Jesus Christ, for Tychicus was filled with the Spirit of Christ, Lord. Father, we long to hear those words from you one day where you will welcome us into your heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant, Lord. Help us to be faithful in the small things, to be faithful in all things, Lord. That is what you've called us to. And thank you, Father, for encouraging our hearts today. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.